Welcome to the Jeremy Mullins podcast, where we take a deep dive into education so that you can optimize your life in many different aspects. Today, I have two individuals on the podcast with me that I have to admit, probably other than my wife, I've texted these two gentlemen more in the last 3 months than probably any other individual. So I have my co-host, Mr. Reno.
Hey, what's going on?
And then I have, evidently social media says, I'm the number one man in his heart, and he showed it to me by giving me the number one finger here recently, Mr. Adam.
Hey, how you guys doing? And you loved it, don't lie.
It was fun. I don't even remember that one, but it was a good one. It was a good photo. But
hey, I remember doing that, but I like it.
Adam, I keep doing this. I'm going to probably butcher it. Last name is?
Piperts. Yep.
Adam Piperts, guys, is the 2023 overall winner of First Forms Transformation Yearly Challenge, which is basically like, hey, who is the individual that has the biggest change in a year time span, right? And, you know, it's a big deal, right? And what I mean by that is because there are a lot of people, I would say, like, you know, we're talking north, you know, a 250,000 people that enter this challenge total in, you know, in the year. And you came out with the number one spot. And as it was told, you know, to you and also told to me, and I really loved it, like, hands down, right? Like, you know, you had one of the best transformations, and it wasn't even, and it wasn't, I'm not taking away from people who were, you know, top five, top 10, because there were some great transformations out there, right? But yours just had that wow and that aha. And the fact is, we probably couldn't be that much, very much leaner than what we were.
No. I mean, from the beginning, I never pictured myself even getting this close. We could talk about my previous tries and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, where we ended up, never in my entire life did I think I would have a physique that looked like that.
Well, and let's face it, like we talk about where you began. You were a big boy. You were, yeah, you know, a chunky boy. Like, you know,
I was pretty morbid. There wasn't no ins and outs. I mean, I was a fit kid. I mean, I grew up a big kid. I grew up a decently in shape, early 20-year-old kid when I was in the military. And then after that, your boy found pizza and hot wings, and it definitely went all to my gut. So,
well, I think, you know, Adam, I think that's a great place to start with. Like, you have, you know, a little bit of history, you know, you, your family, military, and kind of, you know, where the mindset went, where the physical activity, you know, went leading up until, you know, kind of dipping your feet into the app and dipping your feet into the challenge, you know, kind of get that background information. And then I think right, what we'll do for the listener today, and I don't want it to get lost. I don't want it, you know, this podcast to get lost in, like, you know, I have the winner of the transformation on here who is a great guy, you know, I consider one of my good friends now. And a lot of that is because he can take a joke, but he can also give some jokes. And I like that. Right. But we're also going to, you know, take you through for those that are on their journey, especially that year long journey where it's going to take some time. Right. So it's 60, 80, 100 or more weight. Like what we did, here's the game plan for those that are out there and want to go run it. We're going to say, hey, go run it.
You talked about the kind of coming out of the military, and I kind of just want to jump into this, and not so much your military, but isn't it, it's kind of crazy. And Jeremy, you can speak to it too. Like, we have the H2F program now, but you're just so go, go, go in the military that you don't even like think about like, oh, you don't have to be healthy. You can crush the energy drinks. You can trust the candy bars. And like you do your PT in the morning, you're doing some sort of movement throughout all day. And then you get home and then you're asleep. And the next time you're moving again. And then when you transition out, you're like, oh, why am I gaining all this weight? I'm eating my beer, wings, pizza, like I normally would. And there's not a good transition process for health and wellness in the military, like at all. Is that something that you kind of were confused about?
I don't think one single time my time in the service that I was on a quote unquote diet. I mean, it was like I was in my teenage years again. I could eat whatever I want and not gain 20 pounds, but it was because I was running so many miles a day, I haven't sat down in 12 hours running, just like you mentioned. And then after, like you said, after you got out of the military, man, it was a little different, man. I wasn't moving as much. I was still moving. I mean, I went to college. I played sports while I was in college. Nothing like no scholarships or anything like that. But I was active, and I would say I probably graduated college around the 250, which is a pretty solid weight for me. Not like fat, but solid. But yeah, it was a huge transition going from one world to the next, that's for sure.
And we started over 300 pounds. What was your starting weight?
303, but originally it was 349.
So that's the highest weight that you got, right?
Right.
So what do you think, and how long did it take, between once again finishing college and like you said, by no means, lean, but not a bad 250, to put on the additional 100 pounds, like how many years was that? What do you think, looking back on it played the biggest role?
So when I graduated, I would say I graduated college about 250, and then I moved to North Dakota for a year, and I was working road construction up there, testing soils and testing concrete and things like that. I'd say I probably only gained about 20 pounds there, even though I was working 100 hours a week. I wasn't eating very good, my sleep was awful, but I'd probably say I only gained about 15, 20 pounds for that because I was constantly still moving and stuff like that. When I moved back home, I took a job working in a prison, and there I broke my leg breaking up a fight, had surgery, was non-weight bearing, gained some weight, did PT, did all that good fun stuff, went back to work 6 days later, did the exact same thing again, snapped it again, had to have microfracture surgery in my ankle. That was not fun. I was non-weight bearing for 3 months, and then after that, I was on crutches for another two. So I had a lot of time to sit around and eat. So I breaking my leg twice, ankle twice was probably the biggest factor in my weight gain.
But that makes sense, right? Like knowing that, okay, hey, a lot of, like you were saying, it wasn't that you knew nutrition or not, it wasn't that you were on a diet even in the service or after the service. You were just physically active, right? It was just something you did, and then we quote take that away and that happens, right? That is contradictory to what you told me in the beginning because you blamed your wife, I think, the first time that we talked. Same with Sarah's fault.
Good food. Well, at the time, 100%. Said that, Jeremy.
You're fat and happy. So, hey,
Yo,
Sarah.
low key, we were talking about a month ago because she's on a journey with me, and we were talking about the foods that we used to make back in the day, and one of them was a chicken nugget casserole. And looking back, I mean, we made that probably once, maybe twice a week. Absolutely delicious, but Jesus Christ, that's enough calorie. One of my servings is about 2 days worth of calories now.
Jesus, You're
Man.
gonna have to describe what this, sorry, we interrupt this podcast to get into the recipe of tell us about
Amazing.
this
Amazing.
chicken nugget casserole. What it
It was amazing. So I'd cook the chicken nuggets, right? I put a bed of chicken nuggets down. And then we put some kind of pasta or some kind of nasty carb that we should have eaten right on top of it. Layer of cheese, some cream of mushroom on top of that. Another layer of delicious dinosaur chicken nuggets. And then we pack bacon, tater tots, and more cheese on top. Bro.
So, sorry, Reno. Two fat kids. I got sidetracked, man. I had to hear what this was.
Yeah. No, I wrote it down, so
Let me know how
I'm
you like it, because
gonna
back a year and a half ago, cream of the crop right there.
try. Okay,
Where
so
were you?
first tip for the listener is to cut out the casserole. Was it not dino? Chicken
Oh,
nugget casserole.
Dino nugget casserole. It's amazing.
Okay,
That sounds
cut
like
it
a
out.
Sam's Club special.
Yes.
Tip number one.
Were you aware during all of this of kind of like in the back of your head how much you were eating?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been kind of somewhat conscientious of that. Before I broke my leg, I really wasn't too worried about it because I was staying pretty steady around the 245 to 260 range, which is at the time I thought was a pretty decent weight for my build. I'm naturally a big guy anyways. So at the time, yes, but it wasn't affecting my life at that point. It didn't start affecting me until I had to have those two surgeries. And then that's when the weight gain started. That's when everything kind of started to affect me in a different way, such as the weight. And we had my second child right before the second time I broke my foot. And that was, or no, we had him just before. We had him about 6 months prior. So yeah, then yeah. After that, it just kind of started to pack on.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, and as we're kind of getting into this timeline, you said the heaviest you got to was 349. So you lost, almost 50 pounds before you got into the first form app, before you kind of started, your journey. But also, you got into the app and not right away, did you have great results? I mean, I think you got in there, if I look back at it, the summer of 2022, you download it, but you didn't really like don't, dive into anything. And I always say this with individuals, like you're either ready to make a change or you're not.
100%. And the person has to actually want it for themselves for the change to take place. If they're doing it for the wrong reasons, because, oh, this person doesn't like the way I look, or I'm not too happy with how I look, you may make some changes, but it's not going to be sustainable.
Yeah, and to the listener, I don't care if it's a aesthetic look that you're going for, right? If that's the initial thing that kind of gets you, motivated or to start your journey, that's okay. We're not saying it's not, but you have to have a deeper why on why you want to keep going, right? Because if it's just, so and so hurt my feelings, or I've got a 20-year reunion coming up and I, want to lose a little weight, like that is going to be short term and you're not really changing the deep connections and the habits to go along with that.
Exactly.
So I had you at, 303 when you first started last year, and you actually got in, if I remember correctly, kind of before, either before Christmas or right before Christmas in December last year, where you got in, started utilizing, the app. And I always tell people with this, I do coach a large volume of people on site in the app. And this is kind of the phase now. We're a month into the new year, so we're getting to go to February. The people that are still quote unquote on point in a challenge, I'm getting to know better. And what I mean by that is I'll go check out their Instagrams. I'll go and try to, make connections. Cause really that first month inside of the app, I'm just putting out fires. I'm trying to answer questions, get people on track, hit their protein, all that good stuff. And I think, when I look at your results, it's very important to make people realize two things last January. One, you followed the app, the macros and calories that were set up by the first form app, right? Just generic, put your information in, it spit out your numbers, you followed that. And two, we only dropped, 4-ish pounds in that first month last year.
And nothing in the first 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, those are the two, the biggest things that stand out for me. Now, one, do I think the calculations in the first form app is a great starting point for most people? Heck yes. I developed the, it's my formula. So yes, I think it is really good. But the thing I make to that is anytime you guys and gals, you're starting your journey, building a baseline is very important. So if you can build a baseline of calories and protein, then we can make adjustments based on your results. The second thing to that, yes, you did not give up. You didn't give up after not losing for the first couple of weeks, right? And then we lost once again total of 4 pounds that month, which was on average a pound a week, because there's so much that goes into that. And we've covered it in some past podcasts of why the water weight changes, inflammation, all that that goes into it. So that's where we were at last year. It was 4 pounds the first month, but you were doing a really good job hitting your numbers. What are some things that stood out from that month last year? So the end of January, right where we're at right now, what stands out to you? What do you remember the most?
So I remember I was going through some things, right? So I was like, in my own head, well, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not losing any weight. But one of the things that I did do was I did take measurements when I first started. So that first 2.5 weeks where I didn't lose any weight, I did take measurements. I may have not lost a single pound, but at that time I lost like 2.5 inches off my waist. So it was a kind of a one thing you've stressed, and a lot of people within the 1P community stresses, is don't live and die by the scale. Now, for me, that was hard because my biggest goal was to get that scale to drop. So month one, I learned that the scale doesn't always tell the full story. And that was especially true for me, because I believe after the first month, at that time, I lost 3.5 inches off my waist, which 3.5 inches sounds a lot better than 4 pounds. So even if the scale wasn't moving, my body was changing. I just wasn't seeing that reflected on the scale. But I took that time instead of in the past, I haven't lost any weight. I'm gonna quit. There's no point in me busting my ass if I'm just gonna keep, oh, sorry. Busting my butt if I'm gonna not lose weight. So I used that time to educate myself. There was a lot of teachings that Jeremy does on Tuesdays, Tough Love Tuesdays. There's a lot of, in our Facebook group, there's a lot of information along with on the app. And that's when I learned about body recomposition. There's a lot that goes into it. Jeremy can talk more on that one, but I was going through body recomp. So that's how I'm glad it happened, because it forced me to educate myself. Because at the beginning of it, I told myself I wasn't going to quit no matter what. I was going to keep pushing, keep going. My 5-year-old hooked me up with that motivation. So bless that little boy. But yeah, so the first month was hard. Month two started to get a little bit better. But I used that first month for education.
So here's the numbers, right? And I'm pulling this up out of his app. The great thing about the app, it's all documented.
Exactly.
And we talked about that. He, was 303 kind of when he first got into the first form app, but started in January of last year at 293. So lost kind of 10 pounds, from July of the year before till there. But hey, he was progressing. So January 1st weigh-in, 293. January 8th, 1 week later, 293, right? Didn't lose anything.
One of those weeks, if I'm not mistaken, I think I went up 2 pounds.
100%. So okay, so he stayed the same. So I got to have a conversation with him that, hey, you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, right? Trust the system, brother. You're hitting your numbers. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes that weight goes up, sometimes it goes down. Sometimes it stays the same, right? He's like, Roger that. January 9th, the next day after I'm having a conversation with him and what happens to the scale, it goes up to 295. Most people would give up right there. They would let the excuse come in that they're different, right? That they can't lose weight. They've always big bone, because we as humans do that. We set ourselves up that this is going to be hard, so I'm going to have excuses of why I can't succeed. And I talked about this on the first podcast. That's why I never did a podcast until now. I kept putting it off because I didn't know what this guy down here, or I don't know where you'll be on the screen, Reno, what this guy knows, right? Yeah. So like, and when I finally like, and to be honest, that's the reason it's the Jeremy Mellon's podcast, because I thought about all these other names. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to own it, right? This is going to be my name that goes on it. I'm going to own what this is, right? And that's the same thing. As a human, don't set yourself up for the first time things go wrong that you give up on yourself. Because you could have gave up there, because you gained 2 pounds.
Yeah, I was mad. I was not happy that week.
January 15th. So here we're 2 weeks in, 293. So we're still at the same
Wait,
weight.
I only lost 2 pounds in January, now that I think about it.
No, hold on, this gets better. January 17th, back to 295. So now he's up and down, up and down. But here's the cool stuff. January 18th, one day later, being 295, down to 289. And what people have to understand is our body fluctuate with this water, right? It's going to do that. January 23rd, 290. January 30th, 288. So actually, you and I were both wrong. It wasn't 4 pounds, it was 5 pounds that you technically lost in the month, right? So that's where I can sit back and look at it and have a conversation with Adam, be like, hey, what we did in the month of January, we were losing 1 pound of body fat a week. What can we do now to make changes? Okay. And this goes into, you know, what I do and where it's so cool in the field of nutrition. I kept Adam's calories the same at this point. But what I did was I increased his protein by 50 grams because he's a big eater. He's a big guy. So he was over protein some days anyway. So I took advantage of that and I increased his protein 50 grams. Then with him having a nice beer belly, for lack of better terms, you know, I'm like, okay, middle-aged guy, carrying weight in his midsection, could be some insulin resistance. I cut his carbs 50 grams. So remember, 4 calories per gram of protein, 4 calories per gram of carb, kept him on the same calories, but I pulled 200 calories out of his fuels, add those 200 calories to protein. And that was the adjustment we made going into February.
I was also the same time you introduced me to GDA, which I think played a huge role over the next month or two that I was taking that.
So, you know, GDA, and this is where I don't think we've done it on the podcast. I've still got upcoming for an insulin resistant episode. But GDA is a product that First Form makes. The active ingredient inside of it is berberine. And berberine, if you guys, you know, want to do a Google search on it, a lot of DOs and osteopathic medical doctors, I hope I said that right, will use berberine over metformin. So it helps with insulin resistance on the cellular level. And here's the cool stuff. So we kept his calories the same, added in a little supplement, made adjustment on the macros by dropping the carbs, increasing the protein. And I think we increased the walking a touch at this point too, right? So I asked for, you know, probably 60 minutes of walking versus 45 on top of your resistance training, on top of your BBJ. Did I say that right? BBJ?
I just thought that till May, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So here's the cool thing. January 30th, he was 288, we talked about. February 6th, dropped to 283. Now, a lot of that could be made a little bit of water weight by adjusting the carbs. But then February 13th, 283. February 21st, 281. February 27th, 277. This is now we're getting into the trend, right? I'm getting in the trend with Adam. I can see that the game plan that we have is knocking off about 2.5 pounds of body fat now per week based on what we're doing. Our input versus our output, 2 pounds a week is what we're doing, okay? So remembering back to February, you know, what were some thoughts there, you know, other than what you talked about adding the berberine, what were some other things that went on that you want to share?
So February was a big month for me when it came to physically seeing my changes. My buddy was in a professional fight that week, one of the weekend towards the end of February. I think it was like 25th or something like that. But me and my wife were getting dressed to go, and every shirt that I put on, all my favorite shirts, were just not fitting. They were just, and I was confused because at the time I wasn't thinking like, oh, I've lost this much weight. This shirt's not going to fit. I was like, what the fuck happened to my, sorry, I keep cussing. I'm a sailor. All right.
You're good.
Bad. It's we can change. You can change the rating, right?
Yeah. I can just say it's explicit. We're good.
Perfect. We'll send it. I'm trying these shirts on and they're not fitting and it wasn't making sense to me. And then my wife goes, why don't you try a shirt on that you haven't worn in a while? I'm like, what's that matter? But I was like, all right, whatever. So I put on a shirt that I haven't worn in about 3.5 years that fit. So I was like, oh, so this is actually working, right? So that February was big. The end of February was big for physically seeing my transformation starting to take place.
Now, yeah. Were you able to, I know you're not necessarily weighing yourself every day, or maybe you are. Were you now at this point, you're seeing the changes month or week over week. Is that enough for you? Or was there still some like daily hesitance?
So while I was learning how to properly fuel myself, I was weighing myself probably more than I could admit.
Every 30 minutes.
Like low key, after every meal, I was weighing myself because that's how I found out what foods sat well with me and what foods didn't. So now I can stay away from certain types of foods because I know it doesn't react with my body very well. There for a while, I did get pretty obsessed with the process, and some might call it borderline psychotic. There was no cheat meals. There was no nothing. I was headstrong on an idea. And after late February, it became a lifestyle and not just I'm trying to lose weight.
Well, and I think, based on the readings inside the app too, at least from the standpoint of you maybe stop weighing every day going into March and April because it's systematic from here on out. Like his weigh-ins are literally a week apart, right? So, and here's the cool thing. And if I remember correctly, I think we made one other small adjustment with macros at this time, but we didn't drop calories a lot. I think we maybe pulled just either a little bit of carbs, a little bit of fat out, coming into like March and April of that year. And the reason being is, yeah, Adam had 100 pounds to lose, right? So it's not like I'm trying to get him to go away before, Memorial Day. Like we was always looking at, him kind of, for lack of better terms, peaking or being at goal come fallish, depending on how the year went. But here's the great thing after, like I said, he trusted the process. And this is where if you're in your journaling now, and I tell people, you got to give me 6 to 8 weeks. You give me 6 to 8 weeks, we can figure out your input versus your output, and I can get you on a routine that gives us a trend, right? So
And
listen, sorry, go ahead. That broke up a little bit, Adam.
8 weeks.
Yeah, give it 8 weeks. Like the, I always call it the cold trickle and what was Duval?
Yeah.
Harry? Was it Harry? God, I
That's
can't
sound
remember. Yeah, it's the days of thunder, right? Give me, and that was give 50 miles, running your way, 50 miles my way. I'm like this, give me 6 to 8 weeks my way. We can get into a system and we can make adjustments. And listen to this. So March the 6th, he weighed in at 274. March 13th, 272. March 20th, 270. March 27th, 268. April 3rd, 266. April 10th, 263. April 17th, 260. Right. So it was 2 pounds a week leading up to April timeframe. Right. And I think April timeframe is that when you started doing jiu-jitsu again?
Yep.
Okay. So see that trend, guys. He was 2 pounds a week. We kept calories and everything the same. Then he introduced another physical activity and it went from 2 pounds a week to 3 pounds a week, in the course of April into May. Right. So especially when you are increasing your ex energy expenditure through activity, it's very important that you don't race your calories to the bottom. If not, you're not going to be able to play that sport or to do that fitness, especially in the sense that yours is, I would consider it more of a sport than going to do and burn calories for quote unquote fat loss. Sweet. April. All right. So we started up some, BBJ in April, right? Losing about 3 pounds a week. What do you kind of remember from that time frame as we were finishing the springtime, going to early summer?
So everything was good. I was still feeding off a lot of the fat that I had on my body. So I was still full of energy. I had no issues whatsoever. My trainings were great. My lifts were great. April, May, June were great. And then I believe mid-June, we decided to go on a little cut for that next summer challenge. Which was great. It went well. That's when I never in my life have I seen abs, but that challenge, I saw my first two little abs pop through, and that was pretty awesome for me because I didn't think that was a possibility ever. Even when I was in the army, I never had abs. I was what you called skinny fat back then, I guess. I didn't have much. But yeah, so summertime came around, and I started to see some bigger changes because. Wintertime, I'd walk on my elliptical. Summertime, we were outside with the whole family doing our walks. So I'd either walk during my lunch or I'd walk during lunch and then again after jiu-jitsu with my family. So I had a lot of output going on at that time with physical activity and stuff like that.
100%. And a couple of things I want to pull out of that. You mentioned, feeding off fat was your terminology, right? And what we're looking at that, ladies and gents, is body fat is a fuel, right? You use stored body fat for fuel. So I'm going to pull down your carbs and fats throughout our journey to use more body fat. And this is totally my opinion. There's not any science behind this that I've seen, but like once you're in a reduced caloric state, especially when we're working with people that are, 80 to 100 pounds to lose, the longer that we're in that reduced caloric state and the body's using body fat for fuel, I feel like it gets better at it, right? And then, like you were saying, then I'm able to pull your carbs and fats down. But every time I asked you, like, hey, Adam, how's your energy? You're like, dude, I feel amazing. Right. But if I would have dropped you to that hypothetical, carbs that we were doing, and I don't have that in front of me, but let's just say it's a, 150 grams of carbs in the spring versus if I had to put him on 150 grams of carbs back in January, he could have been hungry. Right. Because at the time in January, his body was not used to being in that caloric deficit, and the body was not used to using that stored body fat. So once you get to where the body is utilizing stored body fat, you can pull calories and people are not hungry. But so far in 6 months, really only made three nutritional changes. The initial one where I increased his protein by 50 grams, dropped his carbs by 50 grams, and then we made two more small cuts of calories leading up to the end of June, which was the end of the spring challenge. Listen to these weigh-ins. So starting back at April 3rd, 266, April 10th, 263, April 17th, 260, April 24th, 255. So a 5 pound drop right there. But here's the cool thing. Week later, May 1st, only 1 pound. Does that mean that he lost 5 1 week, one the next? No, he's still on 3 pounds a week. It just showed up like that. Then May 8th, 249. May 15th, 247. May 22nd, 240. May 29th, 237. June 5th, 236. Now, that was towards the tail end of the challenge. He was a little motivated to wrap up what we call inside the challenge is a given period of time, but he did it through activity, not necessarily cutting calories, which is awesome, right?
Yep.
And as you mentioned, we rolled into summer, kind of active. June was not a huge month, for you. You started, June at 237, you ended at 231. So 6 pounds by once again, still a great fat loss,
So
six
I
pounds.
actually sprained my neck that month in June. Yeah, so I wasn't able to roll as much. So that output is, I still went to class and
Yep.
rolled, but it wasn't at the same intensity as I was in May and
Yeah.
April.
So
So
think about that, guys. His activity changed, right? But we didn't change adjust his calories, even with that decrease in activity, because once again, we're playing the long game in his journey, right? So instead of losing 3 pounds a week like he was averaging in the previous 2 months, now he lost 6 pounds, inside of the entire month. But that's okay, right? So we're leading up to, July, which is another start of inside the first format. They do four challenges a year. Way that I coach everybody, whether they want to be in the challenge or not. We just call it a period of time that we're chasing results, right? So even at the beginning of the year, we set goals in Team Alpha of like financial goals, right? How many date nights are we going to take our significant other on? We set goals that are outside of fitness and nutrition, right? And then we take our year and we put them into four segments and then we chase those goals. So here we rolled into July. And yeah, like you mentioned before, we were getting close to being that finished product. So we went after that, in July, knowing that, okay, we're going to do a cut, we're going to cut down on calories, right? And that's what we're going to do at, or that's what we're going to do. So guys, when I do that, I look at making adjustments by 10%, right? So let's say, once again, I don't have the exact numbers of Adam's calories in front of me, but let's just say he was 2,600 calories or then we would look at cutting 200 calories, roughly 10%. Out of his carbs and fats, right? And that's what we looked at doing at the start of July as we ran into that next challenge. So take us kind of through July and August into that third challenge of the year. What do you remember? What are your thoughts?
I was highly motivated that month, those 2 months. I typically use each of those challenges, except for the first one. The first one was more of a baseline for me, but the spring challenge and the summer challenge, I used as not because I wanted to win anything. I still didn't think at that time that I was in the runnings for much of anything. But I just simply used those 2 months as a motivator to push myself as hard as I could. And then I used the in-between months. I believe it's a month between challenges, but I didn't stop during those challenges. I just kept doing what I was doing normally. I would just completely balls to the wall during those 2 months, just as a way to push myself and see how far I can go. And
Well, I
then,
mean, in the big break, right? Because really, there's only a few weeks between New Year challenge and the spring challenge. The big break is summer. And you kind of, I mean, once again, not planned, but with the injury, you had a quote unquote off season, you know, if we're speaking sports, you know, because of the injury. So just it's how it lined out. But I think the take home for the listener and people on their journey is like, you don't stop.
No, right? I still single lifting session. I mean, I missed a couple of issues, but I didn't let it stop me from my journey.
The other change I remember making into this one is, and I like to do this. So I noted, you know, earlier, and, you know, looking back, the formula that the app probably gave Adam at the beginning of the year was he wanted to be 200 pounds, right? Because he knew that was kind of a goal weight. So the app is going to spit out that 1 gram of protein per target body weight, which I love that as a starting point. I'd already bumped him to 250, right? So now he's consuming 250 grams of protein leading up to the fall challenge. At this point, when I have clients that are getting close to kind of getting down to single digit body fat, and we're going to make a push for a cut, we're going to cut calories, I like to bump protein again. So I want people to understand that this is the point that we went up to 300 grams of protein. But once again, for you, not a problem, because even at the 250, most days you were already hitting over that.
Yeah.
So when I give you the green light of, hey, you want to go to 300, you're like, yes, let's go. Ooh, you had a nice little thumbs up explosion behind you. I don't have that.
Oh, wait.
I thought yeah. I did it with my thumbs up. I was like, I'm magical. It's oh, like, wait, we're good.
How did that do? What is happening?
He's got, yeah.
Anyone on YouTube, there's fireworks going off. I don't know how. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. All right. Anyway, we interrupt this broadcast because we're seeing fireworks on Adam's screen. So it'd be cool if it waited to the end to do that. All right. So we're rolling into the start of July. I bump up his protein. Once again, I love doing this. Bump protein up, pull down carbs or fats, keeping his calories roughly the same. Right. So calories are still there. He's not hungry. We're rolling into this. So he starts this challenge July 3rd at 2:30. And then here's his weigh ins. Once again, just so beautiful in the sense 2:30 to 2:27 to 2:25 to 2:22 to 2:18, 2:16, 2:16. So stay the same. Right. It's going to happen. 2:13, 2:12, 2:10. And ended this challenge around 208, right? So, you know, over the course of an 8-week span, we went from 230 to 208 during that time frame. Ended up looking, you know, good, showing some abs. For the positive, though, didn't win, right? Which I think in hindsight is good, right? Because, you know, I am not a believer in, like, everybody should get a trophy. And right. and fortunate enough for us, you got beat by Kevin, who we had on an earlier podcast, a team member. So it was a win-win for me. Like, I remember telling both you guys, I'm like, hey, man, it's hard to pick. I'm like, I don't know. And I remember actually Will called me. He's like, hey, you got to pick one. I'm like, nope.
Can't do it.
Not. It's like, he goes like, which one didn't follow macros? I'm like, they both did. I was like, I can't pick one. I'm like, both of their wives are doing well. I'm like, I don't know. And, but I remember myself telling like, whoever doesn't win, I'm going to push the other one. And, right. and I remember like, you know, I'm like, I really think people should use visualization in life, but I remember just being when you didn't win, like I visualized us winning the new year, right? Like, or the yearly, you know, and I knew in my mind, like what the game plan was going to be. I was just waiting for the results to come out so that we could be like, okay, game on. Right.
I was definitely. For like the first 18 hours, I was salty, right? Right. Cause I mean, and it wasn't because I didn't think he deserved to win. He totally did. He killed it. I got to know him pretty well over that challenge and super awesome guy. And I'm glad him and his family got it. But obviously, I saw what I brought to the table and I was like, man, how do I get better than this? Right? I was like, I have a six pack. I don't know how I progress. Cause now at this point, I want to win. Right. So it's, I didn't know what I could possibly do to do better. And you just mentioned 208 pounds. I don't, at that time, like, there's no way I'm getting any smaller because I graduated basic training at 208 pounds and I was running 10 miles a day. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, but I did what you said. I shut up and played the play.
Well, and here's the thing I want people to understand, like, it is okay to be salty.
Right.
Give yourself 24 hours, right? You don't get the promotion. You don't get, you know, the win, whatever that is. Cool. Give yourself 24 hours to be upset. Give yourself 24 hours to be solid, to whatever that you want, but then we're right back on chasing the goal. And I think that's one of the issues we see in a lot of people nowadays is like they don't succeed, right? Then they give up on themselves, right? Emotions are meant to be felt. There is nothing wrong with emotions, right? But you can't let them dictate your choice and your actions, which you didn't, right? And I remember telling you that, like, hey, take 24 hours. Right? Be salty about it.
Yep.
Come back stronger.
I used it as fuel. That's for sure. I didn't let it slow me down.
Yeah. So as we go into this, you know, and guys, you have to understand, I am not going to be as aggressive in what conversation I'm getting ready to have with you as a client, as someone work with me until you give me 9 months, like Adam did, right? You give me 8 or 9 months and we're on this journey. I can be aggressive. Right. And if you start looking at it, you know, once again, he's been in a caloric deficit, you know, most of the year. We did bump his calories up a little bit at the end of this challenge to kind of maintain over the period between. And then we were like, all right, we're going to cut calories. I'm going to cut your carbohydrate down low. I'm going to cut your fat down low to where your energy is good, but it's not going to be optimal, right? And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Once I have someone in a calorie deficit for a while and their body is used to using body fat for fuel, I can get those carbs and fats fairly low and hunger stays okay, right? And we did that. I want to say, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say that we were at 125 grams of carbs or less going into the last challenge, and fat was 75-ish, or that's one I don't remember.
That was 50.
50, okay. So we had his fat kind of at the lower end, 50 grams of fat a day, carbs at 125 a day. And that was a question I kept asking him, like, how's your hunger? And his hunger and energy were fine. So basically, when you go to 100, 125 grams of carbs a day, that's relatively not a lot. So we take those carbohydrate and we're going to put them in and around the harder workouts, because I can take that carbohydrate and put the 100, 155 grams around those workouts. It still gives you fuel, right? And then the rest of the day, you're pretty much using the body fat for fuel as you're burning that body fat down. So that's what we went with, right? So we went into the last challenge, keeping protein. I think I gave you a green light to eat over 300 grams of protein if you wanted to, you know, keep the carbohydrate 125 or less, you know, fat 40, 50. Because I want to point out, there is a minimal amount of fat that you need, guys and gals. Okay, so making sure that we don't cut fat too low. Generally, I'm okay if guys go 40 to 50 as long as they're taking some omega-3 fatty acids, and females 30 to 40 as long as they're taking some omega-3s. But I don't like to see people go less than that on the fat consumption. And then I think we pushed, because, I mean, the thing about it was like, you know, you're doing BBJ hard, you're doing your traditional lifting hard, you know, and then we once again, I think we leaned on the walking that last challenge and the low intensity cardio.
Yes.
Do you remember how much of that you added to start?
I believe, like, from the first of the year to the challenge.
From the last part of the challenge.
So I was doing two walks a day compared to the one that I was normally. Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's something to point out to people. It's like, I don't have an exact plan that I give people. I adjust things based on input versus output. So he'd already developed his baseline, which had changed over the year. But knowing, okay, hey, Adam, if we're going to produce better results than we had last challenge, we got to do more than we did last challenge. Like, yep. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's as simple as that, right? Because yep. doing the same thing over and over is going to produce the same results. Yeah. You know, so going into last challenge, we increased his walk. We cut the calories, you know, down via dropping the fuels down like we went to, gave him the green light on protein. But most days he was around 300, I'd say the 320 protein. And here's what happened. And these are some awesome, once again, numbers. So we start the challenge at 208. It goes to 206, 205, 203, 201, 200, right? So now we're getting into November. And I remember about halfway through November, okay? So he goes from 201 October 30th to 200 on November 6th, 197 November 13th. And I think around that time when we hit the 190s, I was like, dude, you're getting a little too lean.
It was crazy. You wound up adding food back in, yeah. I believe, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So what happens there, and I think this is a good, you know, coaching cue to what happens after we make these big changes. Okay. So since he was losing and getting so lean, I needed to give him more fuel. Okay. And one of the things I like to do when I start adding fuel back into a individual's plan, I do it on our leg day, right? Because your legs are your biggest muscle, you know, inside your body, right? Even if you're a gentleman like Reno that might skip leg day, you know, got some bigger biceps and shoulders than he does his legs are still the biggest muscle in his body, right? So I like to add carbs to leg day. So what we did is we increased your carbohydrate one day a week on leg day. And then what we found out about that is like it made you feel awesome.
Dude, that's insane.
So
Like,
now we've got actually two days a week that you were having better workouts because we add the fuel back in. Because remember what I said, my ultimate goal was not Adam's performance. My ultimate goal was to get him lean.
right.
So, you know, all joking aside, like I didn't care about his performance. And I told him that. I'm like, you know, hey, if you're wanting to get super lean, then your performance may decline. So then we added in some carbs, and that was a great thing because then he was responding to it. And he actually looked better because he'd gotten so lean that those carbohydrates that he did eat extra on that day would be stored as muscle glycogen. It made his muscles look bigger. And then we just ended up bringing an awesome package quote to the end of the table or to the table at the end of this challenge where, you know, six pack abs were showing, you know, striations in your muscle was showing. We had almost the little Christmas tree on the back. Like you look good.
It was nice. It was nice.
Can you go into, not that this whole process was easy by any means, but can you just lightly touch on for $12 a month, like how easy was it for you to just, you just get on this app and literally all the answers or whatever, like was just right there, like for
So
you?
the first 2 months were hard for me because I never in my life tracked. I didn't know what a macro was. I didn't know. I knew what protein was, but I didn't know how to track them, how to count them. I didn't know any of that. So, specifically the first month, January, was pretty difficult. I wouldn't say it was impossible, because the app does make it pretty easy to use. It was just educating myself on what I was supposed to and not supposed to be eating. So, yes, the first 2 months were hard. Month one was pretty difficult until I started to educate myself. But then after that, it was second nature. I wouldn't even have to really look at much. I know by looking at a piece, like, oh, this is 8 ounces of chicken. I'm going to get about 70 grams of protein out of it. Cool, let me get it. So after that, I started to be able to look at food and kind of guess where it's going to be at. So the tracking became a heck of a lot easier.
Do you think that everything that you've done so far, like you, it set you up for success to not go back to the old you?
So yeah, actually it's kind of funny because my brother-in-law, he works out in California. So I saw him at the beginning of last year around this time, and then he went back out to Cali to work, and then I didn't see him again until around October, and he was shook, right? I mean that I lost, I don't know, 80, 85 pounds by the time I saw him again, and he made a statement that was that rang true. He's like, so this isn't a diet, this is a lifestyle. And I was like, yeah, we're at that point. I mean, even now, like, I still track every day. I now enjoy birthday cake at kids' birthday parties, but I don't let that ruin my whole day or week anymore. It's a treat that I allow myself to have, and then I go back to tracking, and it's just keep moving forward like that.
That's, you know, that's what I wanted to add in, you know, to kind of as we start to wrap this up is like Adam's in a very important stage that a lot of people go through. And I made this mistake early in my career. And I say career, not my business career or professional career, like my quote unquote weight loss career. Like I was either good at losing weight or good at gaining weight. Like
Right.
there was no in between. So what we're doing with Adam right now is we're slowly working his calories back up. So he's realizing that, oh man, I can eat 2,800 calories, 3,000 calories and maintain weight, right? And you know, so at the end of the challenge, he did get down to 191, which remember, guys, that was 10 pounds leaner than he was at boot camp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're just We've slowly come up. 297. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just saying, I graduated basic at 208.
Crazy. And we didn't have to run. We didn't have to run all that stuff, right?
No.
So we went, finished 191, December 11th, 192, December 20th, 193. So no big rebound. He's still tracking all this time. December 27th, 195, January 1st, 197, 8th, 198, 200 on the 16th, 202, 204 at the end of the month. And guys, it's a good weight, right? Because he's still got abs. We're slowly adding. He's still competitive inside of his BBJ competitions. So we're going to get up to where he's probably walking around at his weight, where he doesn't have to cut any weight. And then we're going to stay there. And I think that's very important for the listener to understand is, we're still on your journey, right? An important part of it. I think people need to track a maintenance phase of their life. You
Oh,
have to.
if you're not tracking that maintenance phase, you're gonna fall off. In my opinion, I know if I stop tracking, right? If I stop tracking, I'd be fine for about a week or so, and then I think after that, I might deviate from plan to an extent. But yeah, I think that's why I'm still pretty gung ho about that, because I know inside that I still need to be tracking, because I'm not at that point where I don't have to track yet. And I know I'm not at that point.
And you'll be at that point eventually, right? Like that's the great thing. That is the ultimate goal, right? And what was cool is we just had Dennis's podcast drop. Was that yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
They all run together. And Dennis was technically my first winner of the Transformation Challenge, right? And now you're, my 30 some. I think it's 32 total if we count the S2 competitions too. But give or take 30 some people. And that's a phase that you're in now, right? And you'll get to a point where you don't track. And like for me, I track a couple of times a year, right? So as I start to maybe get a little bit too fluffy, it's like, okay, bring the journal back out, right? And it just dials things in. And I think that's a very important takeaway for people that are on their journey is like, once we get you there, we're not done. We still got to continue doing it so you have that long-term success, which is the ultimate goal.
There's
Gotcha.
also, I'd like to throw this, even like some of the best athletes, whether you're in jiu-jitsu, UFC, baseball, golf, even though you guys might not call it a sport, basketball, football, all that stuff. Like, if they're not tracking personally, someone's giving them their meal that is being tracked for them. Like, some of those high end that they're optimizing, they're in their optimization stage or trying to perform, it is being tracked, maybe just not by them. So a lot of the best athletes are tracking.
They just don't know it sometimes.
Yeah,
But
that's right. Yeah, here, eat this. That's exactly right.
awesome. Well, Adam, I kind of want we'll wrap it up, but I want you to wrap it up by saying, maybe the top one or two things that come to your mind of advice you would give to people. And I don't think this is a hard question because I know you've been interviewed a lot, like people have asked you that question, but I want this podcast to always give takeaways to people, right? So I think we did a really good job kind of giving your history, talking about what we did last year, giving some takeaways of things that I would adjust and change. But what would be a few takeaways from you that you would tell someone that is in that right now, that journey of losing 60, 80, 100 pounds?
my biggest thing was educate yourself and keep going. I don't want to say turn your brain off, but you kind of have to turn your brain off at some point, because for example, I ate a certain way for 33 years, right? I enjoyed the way I ate. I just didn't like what happened to me. So I didn't know how to properly fuel myself, and I shut my brain off. I listened to Jeremy. I did what he told me to do, and I think it any other point in my life without having that in my forefront probably would not have been successful. I mean, I started this journey because of my kid. He said some awesome things to me that made me realize that I needed to lose some weight. And the first several months, it was enough motivation for me to keep going, and that's the reason why I didn't quit. But then I started doing it for myself. I started seeing the changes, started like the way I felt physically and mentally. My thing would just be to don't give up, even if you don't see the scale move, because scales don't tell the full truth. They don't show your water weight. They don't. They're just a-holes. I mean, that's what scales are, right? So just keep pushing forward. Don't give up. Don't get inside your own head. Quit making excuses and be honest with yourself.
Reno?
I'm just dumbfounded. It's just good words.
Like, I have nothing.
I'm a fly on the wall for this one. This was awesome. I'm pumped to see the change that you made in your life. And this is something that I love, the First Form app and just them as a culture in and of itself, is that it's not just, Jeremy said it earlier, it's not just get on and he gives everyone the same plan. He's helping you as a person, and First Form's kind of there, and they're helping you as a person get back to where you should be in your lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, exactly it. And I brought my kids into it as well, along with my wife, of course. And it's kind of funny because my youngest, the reason why I hopped on this journey in the first place is because he told me I was fat. And
can I borrow him from Tough Love Tuesday?
It's great. Daddy, you're fat.
You're fat.
You're not wrong, man. Watch what I do next. But no, he knew what I was doing the whole year. Like, he knew, obviously, January didn't really register that much. But February on, he started to recognize that I was eating better. We weren't eating pizza twice a week like we used to. And he saw how much I was working out. He would start – I work from home, and that time it was spring break or something. I'd go in there, and he's doing push-ups in the living room, 5 years old.
Love it.
Wow, that's cool. But one of the funny things I would do as a joke, like, because obviously he wasn't eating the same stuff I was eating. He's a kid. I'm still going to let him have his cheat days, if you will. So a couple times a week, he wouldn't eat the chicken and the veggies with us. He would eat his chicken nuggets and fries. And I'd walk in there, like, hey, buddy, can I have a chicken nugget? Jokingly, I wasn't going to eat the nugget, Jeremy. And he would look at me offended and said, no, you do calories. I don't. And nuggets. I'm like, you're not wrong, my man.
Hey, I'm not worried about one chicken nugget now as much as you going back to the chicken nugget casserole that had three layers of cheese.
Man, I'm not joking.
Might have to have that. Hey, guys, you know, I'll just leave it at this. Yes, 100%. Like, you know, First Form is our unofficial sponsor because they sponsor me every 2 weeks by putting a roof over my head and paying my bills, right? But yes, like, hey, if this, you know, resonates with you, or hey, share this with someone that you think is going to help them along their journey, download the First Form app, add me, you know, jeremy@firstform.com. That is my primary, you know, job. I do some coach the coach and some other stuff, but my primary job is coaching in the app. I enjoy it. I try to make it fun. I make it a progression. But Reno, as I said, nutrition is not black or white. There's a lot of gray area. You know, what I laid out was just some examples of what we can do today, you know, inside of a journey, and we'll make it happen. And the last thing I'll ask, guys, just because, like, you know, talked about it, like, we like to win. We hate to lose around here. We cracked the top 100 in iTunes nutrition. You know, we moved up like 67 spots. So, hey, if you're on iTunes or any of the platforms, please make sure that, hey, you're sharing this with friends. Give us a like or 5 stars or whatever, however they rate it. Because unfortunately, that's how it is. It's not necessarily downloads, or it's not, you know, 100-pound losses or whatever comes out of the podcast. It's unfortunately those ratings. So if you guys can take the time and please, you know, do us a solid and knock that out, we would much appreciate it. So, gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. It was a longer one for the listener, but hey, it was good information, and we'll definitely have Adam back on here in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
See you.